I'll be talking about, if it gets in the way, remove it. So we'll open up to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Sorry. Here we go. If it gets in the way, remove it. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knelt to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father," excuse me, "and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So the reason I read this is this man was obviously good and followed the law and was upright before God. Jesus loved him because he was trying his best, but there was one thing that he lacked, and that was that he should give everything to the poor. So this thing was something that got in the way of him following Jesus. Now, these riches, I think everyone has different sorts of riches. They can come in many different forms, which might get in the way. Just as an example, when I was in Geraldton quite a few years ago now, I'm a bushy, and I prefer to be out in the scrub. I'm quite happy out in the scrub, but when I was in Geraldton, I realised that I need to get to meetings. I need regular meetings. I was getting to meetings once a fortnight, but for myself, with my own walk in the Lord, that wasn't enough, wasn't good enough. There are plenty of other people, as we know, who can survive spiritually without regular meetings. But for me, this riches thing was my desire to get out in remote areas, and that gets in the way of my walk in the Lord. So praise the Lord, my time in Geraldton made me realise I need to remove that thing, get rid of that riches to help me with my walk in the Lord. So Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with... And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I just jump to verse 33. So likewise, also he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So this, of course, is about people who get something, make something get in the way. And I'm sure we've all witnessed to people and told them, you know, they can come along to a meeting, but, oh, no, I've got to work. Or, if, you know, I've got all these things to pay off, so I've got to work. Or, oh, no, I don't, I live too far away. Or, like, there's often excuses that people have that gets in the way. And praise the Lord, you know, the Lord in those early times removed these things to get in the way of us, for us to come to our meetings and learn about things. But also, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Like this, of course, the hatred it mentions there of father, mother, you know, family. It's not them, the hating of them, because we love our family. It's hating what they represent if they get in the way of things. So, yeah, I certainly, when I first came to the Lord, I was over the moon and a little bit rash, and spoke to my mum and dad, and got quite a bit of negativity back, and it, you know, cuts you a bit, but you step above that and you remove those feelings, I guess, so that you still follow on and follow the Lord, so it doesn't get in the way. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this puts things into perspective. We want our soul to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. And so if we acquire things that get in the way of that, remove them. Says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, because at the end of the day, we want our soul to be raised up, to be with him. Because even if you gain all these riches, so to speak, in inverted in commas, whatever that is, it may not be, like I was saying, the example I gave, it may not be physical stuff, but something that gets in the way, you know, then your soul is you know, you gain these great things, the fun, whatever that the world gives, then you lose your soul. You know, where's the benefit there? Back to verse 23, just read that one as well. But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, Pastor Tim brought this scripture out, and I'd never thought of it before, that Peter was someone that Jesus loved and chose him to be the rock of the church. I mean, he had a great plan for Peter, but in this instance, he tells him, get behind me, Satan. You know, you're an offence to me. And so he was spiritually, he was a great man who established the church, but here he was of the flesh. And so we could reread that and say, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of the spirit, but those that be of the flesh. And so there was this instance where Jesus found him offensive because he had the flesh. He was looking to the flesh, which was something that got in the way of his relationship with Jesus. And so, of course, we understand things of the flesh get in the way of our relationship with Jesus, but the things of the Spirit, they enhance them. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 36. Oh yeah, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Just jump to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And we understand that difference between the spiritual body and the the natural body. But the example here is what you remove or you bury are those things of the flesh. And when you bury that, it raises up things of the spirit. So just like you bury that corn of wheat, as it's referred to elsewhere, but a different body comes up. And likewise, in our life, we have things, bits and pieces that we do or whatever, and we bury those things, remove them, and it comes up. Something else comes up to fill the void, which is spiritual. I believe it's an ongoing thing, that as things come up, you remove them, you bury them, you bury that carnal thing, that thing of corruption, of dishonor, of weakness, of the natural body, and in its place comes up incorruption and honor and power and a spiritual body, things that bring us closer to the Lord. And it's a personal thing, you know, whatever these things are that get in the way. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, which we heard in the gifts, of course. So we have this race that is set before us. It's a race of endurance, and just as Jesus endured the cross, you know, quite the endurance, we endure until the end, and we lay aside every weight that does easily beset us, and that's sin. So we push that away. Jesus carries our burden for us. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, and verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So again, these things, the things we do things that are of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. It's just what we do, you know, as a walk in the Lord. But then by fire, those things that are of the Spirit, the gold, silver, precious stones, they survive. But those of the flesh, the wood, hay, and stubble, they get burnt up like a dross. We sow good seed that bears good fruit for God's kingdom, but also we sow bad seed that gets in the way, you know, like the tares and the wheat. But also, I believe that every day we sow bad seed, stuff, whatever, things, whatever it is. Each day we have a propensity to sow bad seed, and that gets in the way. So you need to burn it off, however that is, because those things of the Spirit will survive. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. So the house, the things that are a part of that are things of the Spirit and of the flesh, and some are to honour and to some dishonour, as we've read before. If a man therefore purge himself of these, a purging of these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So if you purge those things of dishonour, you're meet for the master's use. You're pure before, You're well refined for our master's use to be able to use us while we're here on earth and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So is that that conscious purging, and it says here, if a man therefore purge himself. So it's referring to here that it's a part of it's up to us. Of course, the Lord helps us. You know, we call unto him to be his servant, how to be a better servant, and the Lord helps us purge ourselves of these things. And a great way the Lord does that is 1 Peter chapter 1, last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, the way the Lord helps us purge us of these things that are of the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 1, just one verse, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So yes, we're conscious of sowing to the Spirit, not the flesh, but the Lord has this way of burning up that dross that is around this this pure ore through trials. And I'm not sure if others have felt the same way, but you go through a bit of, a rip snorter of a trial, and afterwards you think, well, there's stuff burnt off. You know, the Lord has burnt off some of this stuff that was hanging around, and you're better for it, of course. So the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And it says in chapter 4, the fire, it refers to the fiery trial in one of the verses there. So God makes that analogy between a trial as being a fiery thing to burn off that stuff that he doesn't want around the pure gold or the pure precious stones and silver and gold. Okay, thank you.